This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story. This is The Rita Cosby Show.
Lovely Rita, meet a maid. Nothing can come between us. When it gets dark, I tow your heart away. Standing by a parking meter.
Breaking news.
And tonight on The Rita Cosby Show, just in the last few hours, the gag order against President Trump by the judge in the so-called hush money case, well, it has now been expanded. It is now including the judge's family and others, because over the weekend, President Trump made comments about the judge's family. Now, here's the backstory. If you listen to what he was saying, look, the judge should recuse himself because he says the daughter has been involved with a firm that does a lot of work with Adam Schiff and works with a lot of these progressive Democrats. And that should eliminate the judge and others because there's clearly a conflict of interest. So he's saying, wait a minute, the deck is stacked against me. So clearly the judge doesn't want him to say anything. Right now, the judge and DA Bragg are the only basically two people that Donald Trump is allowed to talk about. And if not, he could be faced with fines. He could also even eventually be locked up for violating a gag order. And I still have to ask, why is there not a gag order on the other side? Why are witnesses and other people, it seems like it's unlimited on the other side. It's only on President Trump, who is a candidate now, as we know, the leading candidate against President Biden, the main opponent. To me, there's something so un-American about all of this. If you're going to do it and you're going to have any sort of gag order, it should be for everybody. And I don't think it's fair when you're looking at an election year. The president needs to defend himself. He says this is all about politics. It's all about going up against me. It's all about stacking the deck against me. It's all because they are trying to undermine and kick off the top leading political candidate. So he has a point there. He's on the campaign trail. He is out and about. What is he supposed to do? Pretend like he's not being a victim of politics at this point? That's a lot of his campaign. They're worried about me. That's why they're coming after me. They're coming after me because they want to come after you. You can hear the lines, and that is clearly what they don't want to hear. So they're trying to shut him up. And to me, it is preposterous. But the judge is not stopping, and clearly they are now expanding it. And you could bet that this judge will go on and on and on. And we'll see. If he just adds some fines, we'll see if he ends up doing more. Maybe potentially he might try to throw President Trump in the slammer. Because how are you going to shut up the main candidate running for president of the United States at this point? To me, this is absolutely preposterous. And to me, it's a complete injustice. It is also such a judicial overreach. This is lawfare at its worst. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Also on the Donald Trump front, in the last hour or so, he has also now officially posted ahead of schedule because he was getting until Thursday of this week. He has now posted the $175 million bond in the New York civil fraud case. Again, it was due in a few days. And by posting this bond, what it means now is everything's on hold for Letitia James, the New York Attorney General. Remember, she was planning on going after his assets, seizing his assets on a variety of things. And because of that, she now will not have the ability to go after any of the Trump golf courses or the Seven Springs property or the Trump Towers, even though she had them all in her sights. And now she will not be able to get them and to seize them while the appeal is going on. President Trump is going for the appeal full throttle. And while all of that is happening, while all those things are underway, then he is able to now put everything on pause. He has put this new amount up. It's not the $464 million that originally they requested, but instead it's $175 million. And that's what the appellate judge ultimately decided. And that has now been posted. So Letitia James won't be able to measure the drapes anytime soon at the Seven Springs Resort or any of the Trump properties. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Mike in South Carolina. Mike, your thoughts about all of these big Trump developments tonight?
Good evening, Rita. Always good to listen to your show and calling. Well, you know, it's, you know, Donald Trump just wanted the judge to be recused, you know, in that one case. And isn't that a shame for all you fans of Letitia James? Ain't that a shame? She can't, I like that. She can't measure the drapes now. Aw, too bad. Shame on you, Letitia, and your other comrades who are doing what they're doing. The donkeys against the elephants, against Donald Trump. Shame on you.
Yeah, she was planning on it, Mike. She was all set and she was all ready. She had the places listed. She had all this. And then the appellate, you know, court came in. And the interesting thing is now it's all on hold. This is going to drag out a long time now, Mike, because now that it's going into the appellate court for this review, this court traditionally, just kind of reading the tea leaves about this court, they usually take quite some time to read cases, to hear cases. There doesn't seem to be any impetus as to why they have to rush it. So this is, I think, a really, really big victory for President Trump. Your thoughts about that?
Definitely a big W for the Donald. And you know what? No matter what they throw at him, Rita, you know, with your resume, no matter what they throw at him, he's standing tall and he's still jumping in the polls. And, you know, shame on all the disciples of the Democratic donkeys, you know, the devious Democratic donkeys. And it will drag out, I'm sure. But too bad. Maybe someone will buy her, you know, a tape measure so she can measure new drapes for another place that she's, you know, got her eyes on.
Although it seems like her only eyes are on Donald Trump's properties. I mean, that's the craziest thing. In the middle of all this, Mike, there is so much crime out there. There are so many issues out there. And yet her focus seems to be so preoccupied, just like Alvin Bragg. It's on anything Trump, Trump, Trump. And in fact, this trial, by the way, this hush money trial is going to take, they believe, anywhere for like about 2 months. So, you know, you've got this case that's going to be consuming them. Think about all the headlines that are coming out of New York, you know, between all the crimes and all the problems. It is just, it is ridiculous, Mike. Your final thoughts, my friend.
Totally ridiculous, Rita. And you know what? You know, when that, the DA, black female in Georgia.
Yeah, Fannie Willis, Fulton County Fannis.
Yeah. And I'm trying to be, you know, I'm a relocated northerner down here like so many others and living in South Kakalaki. And I'm trying to be a southern gentleman. You know, Rita, I really am.
I'll never forget when, by the way, Mike, when she said that he's a southern gentleman. He likes me to make, he makes a, he thinks women should just make sandwiches. Somehow that didn't seem too much like a southern gentleman, but that's not my idea of a southern gentleman. But anyway, she did give us some memorable lines. Mike, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Let's go to Matt in Long Island. Matt, what do you make of all this stuff against Trump?
Can you hear me, Rita?
Yep, I hear you. Go ahead. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So what I'm concerned about is that he's ahead of the polls and they're trying to do all this other stuff to him. And if they don't do that, he's ahead of the that Biden is wise and bought and sold word. I just hope they don't steal the election again. I mean, hope he's ahead in the game that he can still win. What do you think? What could happen?
Well, I think, first off, he is ahead of the polls, if you read the polls, but it's a lifetime in elections. Polls are not always accurate, but I do believe that he has the momentum on his side, to your point. But I also think that Republicans need to wise up and have early voting. There is early voting, but a lot of times they don't do it. They just expect to come out only on election day. And I think that that's a huge mistake, because I think things happen. I mean, look what happened, remember, in the George Santos seat. That day, it was really bad weather on election day. And, you know, a lot of different factors. You could talk about the candidate. You could talk about a lot of things. But you can't rely on people coming out just on election day. It ain't going to always happen. You got to get out the early vote. Whatever is legal, whatever is within the states, different states have different procedures, but whatever is allowed, the Republicans really got to galvanize and get everybody out, as many votes as they can. I always think of, Matt, I think of John Fetterman. Before the debate, remember that crazy debate that happened with him and Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania? There were Democrats that didn't know that Oz was sort of so out of it. And in fact, when they were voting for him, they had no idea, because he delayed the debate. And then by the time he had the debate, there were hundreds of thousands of votes that he had ahead of Oz. There were a lot of people who were like, God, maybe I might have retracted my vote, but they couldn't. So how do you make up the difference? That's a lot of votes to make up and just bank on everybody coming on election day. So you got to get everybody galvanized. I know people always say, oh, this is the most important election. I do feel like a lot's at stake this election more than ever before. I mean, look at the future and the direction our country has gone in, and our border, and soft on crime policies in just the last few years. We got to get warriors. We got to get people who protect the homeland, protect our communities. That is, you know, priority number one. And you got to get people out early. And that way, if they can get out on election day and get others out on election day as well, that's great. But, you know, they can't bank on it. And people who can get out and vote early got to do it. They have to. Yeah, you can't wait till the last moment to vote. It just doesn't work in this environment. Let's go to Jacqueline. Jacqueline, your thoughts.
Hi, Rita. I have an idea for President Trump and his entire campaign rally and his staff.
All right, let's hear it.
Since the judge wants to broaden the gag order on him regarding this case, I think at all of his rallies between now and the time that case is closed, he should have the people that attend his rallies come up to the podium and continue to talk about the judge and how unfair it is and what's going on, and let people know the truth and talk about the judge's family. And let's see if the judge can impose a gag order on every person in this country.
That's it. So have like different people go up. So it's not him technically saying it. It's others saying it, is your point, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And no member of his family or of his staff either.
Right, right, right. And by the way, that would be a long list of people who'd want to say something, but you're right. How's he going to get around it? And you know what I think is completely unfair is, in the middle of all this, first of all, I don't think you should do a gag order, especially at a time when somebody's running for president. And I think so much of what is happening is election interference. It's over the top. It seems un-American. So they want to first do the action, then they want to do the gag order. And as I bring up, Jacqueline, it's a one-sided gag order. You know darn well some of the witnesses, like a Michael Cohen and some of the others, they're going to be out there, you know, tooting their horns and talking about whatever they know or trashing Trump. That does not seem fair. I mean, if you're going to do it, it's, first of all, I don't think you should do it. I don't think it's American to do it during an election year. I don't think the cases are American to do it in an election year. But then I think it's got to be multi-sided. It's got to be fair for everybody, because you can't suddenly have Michael Cohen go out there and testify and then comes back out and like starts trashing Trump. And what, Trump's not allowed to go after certain people? That is unfair. Your thoughts real quickly, Jacqueline.
Well, I mean, you've stated the obvious. We've heard this time and time again with everything that they try to throw at President Trump. And like I said, I mean, they can't stop the people of the United States from speaking out. And if he were to have representation from every individual that were to attend his rally, wherever they may be held geographically, have them come up to the podium, have them state their piece, have them point out to the public how unjust this is, everything you've just stated. How are they going to put a gag order on them?
Right. Like, and also, by the way, he could even just have it organized. It could be a Vivek. It could be a Tim Scott. It could be a number of those folks who do it. But I bet you anybody in the crowd could get up there and also articulate it, too, pretty powerfully as well. Jacqueline, I love it. That's a great, great idea. 1-800-848-9222. And we'll continue your calls, everybody, after the break.
The Rita Cosby Show.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
It's the Rita Cosby Show.
Gag order as he finally posts his $175 million bond in the civil fraud trial. He's got his hush money case coming up in about a week or so, and boy, he's got his hands full. But there's a lot of crime in New York, and yet it seems like these New York prosecutors are only focused on Trump, Trump, Trump. 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to JC, line 5. JC, your thoughts.
Hey, before I get to Trump, I just want to say one thing about Fetterman, okay? Everybody, I hated Fetterman when he was in the Attorney General in PA, okay? He was letting the people out of jail. But since he's been in Congress, he's better than a lot of the conservatives.
He's been a voice of reason on Israel, for sure.
Exactly, and it's something that his office put out that was really lefty. And he said, "Wait a second." He goes, "That's not my stance. I didn't approve that." He goes, "My office put that out. I don't agree with that." So he's the voice of reason. But back to Trump, the lefties—they're going to do everything possible to roadblock Trump. That's where the derangement comes from. Because if Trump gets in, that's the end of all of them. The Cheneys, the Rasmussens, the Schumers, the Clintons, the Obamas.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. The machine is worried if Trump comes in and explodes it all. That's for sure.
Cosby is on. The Rita Cosby Show presents Back the Blue.
And this Back the Blue segment is sponsored by GoyaCares.com because you are a precious gift from God. And this is a very powerful story coming from DeLand, Florida, where a police dog finds a missing Florida toddler safe in the woods after following the scent from a blanket. A Florida police canine is being held as a hero after helping to find a missing 3-year-old boy who wandered from his home, and it happened on Friday. The child's family reported him missing from their home around 11:30 a.m., and authorities immediately launched a team to help find the toddler. Officers conducted a massive search for the boy, focusing on a wooded area behind the family's home. Officer Corporal Danon Clark and his exceptional canine dog Midnight, who is trained to search for narcotics and also missing people, were called on to help locate the lost boy after he wandered from his home in Florida. Now, using the blanket, Midnight picked up the child's scent and followed it into the wooded area. He was able to track him in the woods right behind the family's home. Thankfully, the boy was located unharmed and returned safely to his family. And Canine Midnight, Clark, and the other officers got together to share moments with the boy and his mother after they were reunited. The police department there released a statement saying, good work to all the teams involved. This is the outcome we hope for in these situations, a safe return. And great work, of course, by the police department and, of course, the canine Midnight, who was hot on the trail and found that little boy. And a big thank you, of course, to GoyaCares.com that does so much to protect our country and our family values. We love them and we appreciate them. Be sure to check out GoyaCares.com. Well, we are talking about President Trump, and one thing President Trump did recently was go to the home of Jonathan Diller, and he went to the wake honoring this incredible hero who was killed in the line of duty. It happened 1 week ago in Queens when Officer Jonathan Diller, 31 years old, was shot on duty during a routine traffic stop. He and, of course, his partner saw a suspicious vehicle parked in front of a bus stop. And when they went over, the guy on the passenger side allegedly opened fire and shot at Jonathan Diller, shooting him in the stomach, fatally killing him, shooting him under his bulletproof vest. Today, the driver of that car, Lindy Jones, was in court. And this guy is a real piece of work. He goes by the nickname Killa, and he apparently told cops when they said, you know, you got a handgun in your glove compartment. He also had 14 priors. The shooter had 21 priors. And the guy said, my name is Lindy Jones Jr., and I shoot people. Apparently, he was going around bragging on how he shoot people. Here he is. He's now been involved in an officer murder because the passenger in his car is the guy who pulled the trigger and killed the officer. And then officers are asking him questions about it, asking him about the gun. And he's going around bragging, saying, I shoot people, as if that's something to be bragging about. It's an incredible moment. And boy, that speaks volume about our judicial system. I say bravo, first of all, to President Trump for going over there and also speaking to Diller's widow, Stephanie. Also, apparently he was praying with her and their little boy, one-year-old Ryan. And I just think about the courage of that widow. We're going to talk about some of the things that she said at the wake and also especially at the funeral over the weekend that was so powerful, where she pointed the finger at soft-on-crime politicians in New York and beyond, because, boy, things need to change. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Dom, line four. Dom, your thoughts about Trump and more.
Yeah, Rita, here's the official definition by law of a gag order. A gag order is the term for when a judge prohibits the attorney's parties or witnesses in a pending lawsuit or criminal prosecution from talking, operative word, talking about the case to the public. So nothing is stopping Trump from starting his speech with a placard that says the art of the gag, and then asking volunteers to hold up his entire speech as placards, page by page, that shows exactly what he wants to say with his famous mugshot on each page.
So in other words, they speak, he doesn't speak, is your point.
Yes, and have a and have a contest during his placard speech that wins you $100 if you correctly treat a word or a phrase, which means people will pay attention to it, and call it the art of the gag.
I love it. I love it. I mean, by the way, he should do something to, you know, spotlight the moment and just how ludicrous it is. And maybe placard is a good way to do it. He could, like you said, have a contest for the best non-gagged person on the stage, you know, or submit your videos of what you would do since you're not gagged. You could just see where this is going. I mean, remember after he got arrested, he had his famous T-shirt. And that T-shirt made lots of money. So you know Trump. He'll figure out some way to do it. But he might be listening now, Dom, so you just never, ever, ever know. Let's go to William. Line 3, William, your thoughts.
Yes, Rita. They're trying to turn capitalism into communism. The Transformers are all coming out of the woodworks. Okay, and thanks for the dog who was the Terminator. And on the other side, I'll tell you this. When we look at what we see on this earth, out of all of what we created and what the four founders put in for our freedom, we shouldn't just give that away for free. I'm going to just leave you with that.
Yeah,
I love you, all right?
I agree, by the way, William, very eloquently said. I agree. We are turning capitalism into communism. And I think so many of the policies do seem communistic. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, my father, sadly, their communism took over my father's country of Poland. And it was a whole different country. And it's sort of cutting what you say, what you do, what you use, what car you drive. Are you allowed to speak about this? No, you're not. Tearing down statues. A lot of these things, sadly, are reminiscent of communist times. I think you may be spot on there, William. Thank you very much. Let's go to Susan. Line 2, Susan.
Yeah, hi there. You know, this $175 million that President Trump is putting up in cash, that's still extremely over the top because Bernie Madoff, the worst fraudulent criminal of all time, he put up $10 million and he had a $50 billion Ponzi scheme, which absolutely, you know, took people's retirement, took people's, you know, just bankrupted so many people. And, you know, so this is still extremely, as I said, prohibitive that they're making him do that. And no one lost any money. The banks were paid back. There's no crime. There's no fraud. So I don't think that just because, okay, they went from the outlandish amount, you know, $475 million, that's a half a billion dollars, that so they went down to $175 million, which, you know, he's so outsmarting them, like he just took you know, his social media thing, what's it called?
Yeah, took it public. He took it public.
Yeah, he just took it public.
Right.
Now
right, and
so
in fact, he made more money. Susan, he made more money. In fact, on that day, the day that he was supposed to hand in, you know, at that point, it was $500 million. He made more money that day, I think, than he ever did. And he suddenly made it on, it was like the Forbes top 500 wealthiest people in the world list. So you're right. If anybody can turn it into lemonade, it's him. That is for sure. And meantime, you guys, we are talking, of course, about also the fact that President Trump went to the wake for Officer Jonathan Diller. I say bravo to him. I thought that that was such a powerful move. And I'm glad that he went there to show his support for that family. And boy, for all the men and women in blue. And still to this day, it seems like Joe Biden has not done anything yet. He has not picked up the phone. He's now called the Diller family. It doesn't seem like he has done anything whatsoever to address the Dillers. I haven't heard that he's even called them, even though he was just about 30 miles away for that event that took place at Radio City. And then over the weekend, wow, it was a sea of men and women in blue, not just from the NYPD, but all over the world. When there is a funeral for a member of law enforcement, and I've attended, sadly, a number of them, you see thousands of these men and women in blue. There are also folks from the fire department, other first responders. You also see folks from all over the world coming to show their support for the officer's family and the respect and the reverence. And boy, it was like miles upon miles of men and women in blue lining the streets of Massapequa Park in Long Island, appropriately and deservedly so, for this incredible hero, Jonathan Diller, who was killed in the line of duty on Monday. And listen to what his widow, Stephanie Diller, 29 years old, what she said when she gave the eulogy at her husband's funeral. Take a listen.
My husband died a hero, but he also lived as one. Our lives were pretty much perfect until 5 days ago when everything changed forever. When the doors to heaven opened for me one day, I hope to see Jonathan standing there looking at me just like he did on our wedding day.
My husband lived a hero and he died a hero. And then she used the opportunity, appropriately so, to talk about what has happened with the war on police. She referred to Jason Rivera and Wilbert Mora. Those were the two young cops who were killed in 2022 when they were responding to a domestic violence call. And suddenly the son at that home, who was at the end of the hallway when they opened the door, a mentally disturbed guy with a history of mental issues, opened fire on both of them, killing both of those two young cops. I went to Wilbert Mora's funeral at the right up on Fifth Avenue. And it was just so powerful to see that scene. And Stephanie Diller referred to their deaths and said, where is the change? Where are the soft on crime politicians? When are they going to wake up? Listen to what she said.
My husband died a hero, but he also lived as one. Our world will never be the same, but I know I speak for everyone when I say I could not be more proud of him. It's been 2 years and 2 months since Detective Rivera and Detective Mora made the ultimate sacrifice, just like my husband, Jonathan Diller. Dominique Rivera stood in front of all the elected officials present today pleading for change. That change never came. And now my son will grow up without his father. I will grow old without my husband. And his parents have to say goodbye to their child. How many more police officers and how many more families need to make the ultimate sacrifice before we start protecting them? I don't wish this kind of pain on anyone. Jonathan lived his life doing good for people, and it's now time for people to do good for all the officers he represents. Which reminds me, to all his friends in the 105, CRT, and the boys, he wanted me to say, I love you. Jonathan, Ryan, and I don't know how we're going to live without you, but I am so amazingly grateful for every single moment we had with you. Rest in peace, Jonathan, the man who captured my heart and now all of New York's.
Wow, what a powerful, powerful eulogy. And bravo for her for saying, where is the change? It never came. Will the change finally come in honor of Jonathan Diller so there are not more slain officers in the future? They're stunning. I mean, last year, 370 plus officers shot in the line of duty. Assaults are up against officers. When is it going to end, this disrespect and this revolving door of justice? And she referenced Jason Rivera's widow, Dominique Rivera, because who could forget what she said at the funeral, calling out DA Alvin Bragg as he was sitting there in the church. Remember this?
I know you were tired of these laws, especially the ones from the new DA. I hope he's watching you speak through me right now.
And yet still no changes. When will it end? And will this maybe be the wake-up call? Sadly, if you look at the New York Times, nope. Listen to what the New York Times. And actually, let's play it when we get back. We'll play the New York Times because the New York Times was pathetic. They buried the coverage of the Diller funeral. Buried the coverage. We're going to talk about that and take your calls after the break. 1-800-848-9222. And you're listening to The Rita Cosby Show.
It's The Rita Cosby Show. This is the Rita Cosby Show.
And the funeral of Jonathan Diller, 31-year-old NYPD officer who had only been on the force for just a few years, who was killed in the line of duty, has gripped the nation. There are so many people, because it epitomizes also the recidivism and the soft on crime policies of so many politicians. These people never should have been out on the streets. And yet, the New York Times, well, they buried the coverage of the funeral. Listen to Joe Concha on Fox talking
about it.
We've
all seen the images, the overhead images of literally thousands of people showing up, a lot of police officers, obviously, to honor this poor man's life, who obviously was a dad to a one-year-old and a loving husband, only 31 years old. And the New York Times, there are those images right there. Does that look like a page 21 story to you? The New York Times is increasingly showing that the only thing it's good for is to, you know, wrap fish with. Not only did they bury this story, as we said, all the way on page 21, but they included this doozy. Quote, some people, particularly Republicans, have seized on the killing, unquote. Then this so-called paper of record goes on to make an argument, again, in this story that should be honoring this man and his life, that, quote, murder, felony assault, and rape are down about 2% compared with the same time last year. In other words, they appear to be saying things are getting better, and this murder, it's just an exception. And you have to go 11 paragraphs down before you learn that the man who carried out the murder had been arrested, as you just reported, nearly two dozen times before, mostly on drug-related and assault charges. Again, 11 paragraphs in, they decide to include that little tidbit. So overall, what can you say? The New York Times, or the Post in this case, is absolutely right. This is disgusting. It is deceitful. And this man deserved much better from the so-called paper of record.
Yeah, it is incredible. And I was watching some of the networks, CNN and Fox. Fox was covering it. I saw a little blip on CNN, NBC, a little blip. Boy, he deserved a lot more coverage than that. That to me was shameful, that MSNBC and CNN, there was not a lot of coverage of it. And listen to what the New York Times did. That is disgraceful. It deserved to be front page news. It's an enormous issue. And the soft on crime policies of these politicians that continues to this day, that should be a front page issue. You've got the head of the New York Assembly out there just on the issue of retail crime saying, well, we're not sure if longer sentences really are any sort of a deterrent. He won't even do that on retail crime. The governor is pleading with him. He won't do that. He's like, no, there's no evidence. There's no evidence that locking people up actually serves as a deterrent. It sure does. Get them off the street. Show that there is accountability. Show that there's punishment. My goodness, when are these people going to wake up? Let's go to Norm, line two. Norm, your thoughts about all this.
Rita, look, the Democrat, well, I applaud President Trump.
Norm,
for
you sound like
funeral.
You're in a tunnel. Norm, you sound like you're in a tunnel. Fix it.
It's a little bit better?
A little bit better. Not much, but a little bit better.
Okay,
go
I'm
ahead.
Sorry. Okay. No, basically, look, you're not going to get much movement out of the Democrats, okay? The Democrats, look, their base does not like the police, okay? Their base view the police as some kind of occupying army. It's clear, you know, you're not going to get much movement on them. They're doing the work for the Democrats, and the Democrat, that's their position. And look at what Hochul did. She showed up at the funeral because she had to. OK. And so she showed up at the funeral and then quickly ran back and then quickly segued into announcing transgender visibility day. It's like when they'll go quickly to, you know, the police because they kind of have to, and then they'll segue quickly back to some some woke talking point.
And you're right, actions speak louder than words, and it seems like anybody who even tries to question it, like she's trying to get these stiffer penalties for retail crimes, the legislature's shutting her down.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.